seeing the screen behind me and the title of this morning's lesson, Be the Church, Practice Hospitality, you might not automatically make the connection between being the church dispersed and being the church at large and how hospitality works into that. But give me a few moments this morning and maybe I can help put those pieces together. Part of the problem that you may be having kind of figuring this out is that when we think of hospitality today, we think of something very different than what the ancients in Jesus' day thought of and associated with the word hospitality. When we think of hospitality today, we think of social entertainment, inviting someone into our home, cleaning up the house, putting on a nice outfit, putting the pets outside, breaking out the best china that we very seldom use and the silverware that never gets used on a daily basis. And we invite people into our home on a specific day at a specific time, and we entertain them. And that's what many people, American Christians and Americans in general, probably think of when you think of the word hospitality. We think of inviting someone into our home and putting on a spread for them and entertaining them. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with us inviting friends over into our home. Nothing wrong with inviting co-workers to come over for an evening of food and conversation. Nothing wrong with having our family and others that we like and are related to or connected to in some sense. Nothing wrong at all with that. But that is really very different from what hospitality and how it was practiced in the ancient world and in particular the days of the early church. The Greek word for hospitality literally meant lover of strangers. Hospitality, as Jesus understood it and practiced it, and as ancient Israel and the early church practiced it, really had nothing to do with eloquent china or silverware or a four-course meal, but it had more to do with making someone feel welcome in your presence, making someone feel comfortable and at ease around you, not just in your home, but wherever one might happen to have been, home, at a restaurant, in a hallway, with having a conversation with someone, a local diner, a park bench, a street corner, wherever one might be, one could practice hospitality in the sense that you went out of your way to make someone, perhaps even someone you've never met before, feel comfortable and welcome in your immediate space. See, Jesus didn't even own a home that we know of, and yet Jesus modeled and practiced hospitality. Hospitality is extended to others in our words, how we speak to one another, in our gestures, in simple acts of thoughtfulness and kindness, and in humble service rendered to others in the name of Christ. One of the most important things that I think Mark laid out for us a couple of weeks ago in the kind of the transition lesson that was presented from Luke's gospel is that Jesus is our model. We look to Jesus to see how he interacted with people, how he treated people, how he related to people, how he served people. And we look then to follow his example. And even though Jesus didn't own a home, as we've said, it's very clear that Jesus practiced hospitality, and he taught his disciples to practice hospitality. And in fact, he inherited that from what God taught the people of Israel. See, hospitality has been interwoven throughout Scripture, that of welcoming and loving strangers and serving them in acts of kindness and compassion and love. The ancient Hebrew people, you might remember, experienced brutal oppression in their captivity in Egypt. So when God gave them a land of their own, when God gave them a nation, a place to call home, he instilled within them an ethic, a value, actually many ethics and many values, and among them was love of stranger. You see this in some of the old scriptures, Deuteronomy 10, verses 17 and following. Listen to this. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. Now, listen to this. And loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. God wanted his ancient people, the people of Israel, to be a light to the Gentile nations around them. And one of the ways they were to manifest the difference in life in their land versus life in other lands was through their treatment of strangers, through their treatment of foreigners, aliens, people who were different than them. In their land, foreigners and aliens were to be welcomed and loved and respected and treated well. You see, Egypt did not treat God's people very well while they were in captivity. Knowing that, God wanted his people to be different. Exodus chapter 23, verse 9, therefore you shall not oppress a resident alien. You know the heart of an alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. So as God begins this new nation, this new land of his people, he's instilling within them a different ethic, a different value, a different way of seeing strangers and foreigners and aliens. Instead of mistreating and taking advantage of people like that, God wanted his people to care for them, to love them, to appreciate them and welcome them into their midst. Jesus continued this stream of thought. One of his parables, the parable of the Good Samaritan that we'll talk about a little bit later this month, speaks to the importance of being kind and compassionate to all people, especially strangers in need. And then he gave this very challenging statement to his disciples. It says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, for they may invite you back in return and you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you'll be blessed because they cannot repay you, and you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. There's an ethic of Jesus and kingdom people. Now, does that mean as kingdom people, we can't ever have friends over? We can't ever invite someone over that we enjoy being with? No, I don't think that means we can't ever do that. But it means also, in addition to us getting together as friends and family every once in a while, we ought to make an effort to invite people into our homes that can't invite us back into their home. We ought to be the kind of people who don't just hang out with people who are like us and who like us and we like, but we hang out with all kinds of people. Even people we don't know real well. Even people who may look and act and think very differently from us. Jesus set that pattern for us. And if we're going to be His disciples, if we're going to be His church, we have to learn to practice and do the things that He did. His early disciples got it. The early church got it. They went out and taught young Christians everywhere to love strangers. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13 says, practice hospitality. When Paul wrote to Timothy and talked to him about appointing men as elders, one of the requirements for those they were to look for was they are to be hospitable. In other words, they are to have a love of strangers. They are to be of such the kind that they welcome others into their presence and make them feel welcome and accepted. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without even knowing it. Finally, Peter, the Christians he wrote in Asia Minor, said, be hospitable without complaining. Our ancient brothers and sisters in Christ followed the example of Jesus. They practiced a love of strangers that opened doors for the growth of Christianity. One man, a social and a church historian, says that the practice of hospitality explains why the tiny Jesus movement, birthed in the obscure Palestinian town of Jerusalem, became the dominant religion of the Western world in less than 400 years. You say, well, how could that be? Well, catastrophic plagues raged through Europe in the centuries following the birth of Christianity in Jerusalem. Those plagues killed hundreds of thousands of people at the height of one epidemic. Some estimate that 5,000 people a day were dying in Rome. That's a lot of people each day to be dying. Historians now, looking back on that time, have discovered that many of those who ministered to the sick and dying were Christians. Risking their lives, compassionate disciples of Jesus waded into these epidemics of death, ministering to the sick and dying in the name of Christ. That's ancient biblical hospitality. Very different than what we think of it today as just inviting someone into my home for dinner. Hospitality then meant getting out and serving and loving and helping people in need, welcoming them into your life. Following the example of Jesus, who loved all, they ministered not just to sick believers, but to dying unbelievers as well. And people took notice. According to one ancient historian, heedless of danger, the Christians took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in the name of Christ, and with them departed this life serenely happy. Many of those early Christians went to an early grave because of their commitment to get out and minister to people, sick people, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's hospitality as Jesus understood and practiced it. In the early days of Christianity, many congregations had ambitious missions to the poor. The church in Antioch is believed to have fed 3,000 widows and virgins daily. In addition to caring for prisoners, the sick, the disabled, and travelers who had nowhere to go. When one takes time to study our early church history of what our brothers and sisters thousands of years ago did in the name of Christ, it becomes very clear that instrumental to the explosion of Christianity in the ancient world, practicing hospitality was instrumental in that explosion. Christians, everyday, simple followers of Jesus Christ, getting out, getting their hands dirty, getting in contact with people, serving in the name of Jesus, loving on people, welcoming them in the name of Christ, helped open doors for the gospel that otherwise would have never been open. So in addition to the preaching, in addition to the evangelistic work that was being done, the seeds, as our speaker last week talked about, the seeds of love and compassion that were sown in the hearts of individuals who were practicing hospitality, who were following the example of Jesus, opened up many, many doors for the message of Jesus. Now, we can be inspired by the actions of believers in the ancient world and what they did in the name of Christ that helped Christianity take a strong root in this world. But the real question for us is, how do we carry on this tradition of serving and welcoming and loving others in the name of Christ? In a book that some of us are studying on Wednesday nights called Pilgrim Heart, Darrell Tippins makes a very strong statement. I want you to listen to it. He writes, "If we do not each personally feel the urgent call to love the stranger, if our own hands do not touch the sick, the poor, the dying, can we truly say we are walking with Jesus?" In other words, if we isolate ourselves, wall ourselves off, and only exist in this cocoon where we're comfortable, where we're with people like us, people we like and people who like us, can we really say that we are following Jesus? He continues to write, "Jesus whispers these simple words in our ears each day. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was lonely, and you visited me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink." See, Jesus doesn't just whisper those words in my ears. He doesn't just whisper those words in the ears of ministers. He whispers those words in your ears just as much as He does mine. "I was a stranger." Well, let me call the preacher. Maybe he can do something for you. "I was hungry." Well, let me call the church. Maybe we've got some peanut butter up there we can give you. Okay, well, that's good. And it's okay to do that. We do have peanut butter here, by the way. And some green beans and some green peas and a few other things, some tuna fish. We'll get a box of groceries. We can do that. And we'll put somebody up in a hotel. If they're out and they're stranded and they've got nowhere to go, we're not going to let anybody stay on the streets if we can help it. So we'll do that. You go ahead and call us. I don't want to say don't do that. But I hope you get my point. We can't always just push it off on somebody else. Sometimes you may need to be the one who goes and buys the groceries. Sometimes it may be your bed that you could give up. Or give up your bed one night of comfort to sleep somewhere else so that somebody can have their own place to sleep. Back to what he says, "Jesus whispers these simple words in our ears each day. I was a stranger, and you took me in." He modeled specific forms of care that challenge us all, and we should be restless until we offer back to Him in the persona of the stranger a bed, a cup of cold water and a healing touch. Those are pretty strong words. As baptized followers of Jesus, we're not called to go to church and make our faith about being comfortable while we're here. We're called to get outside of these walls and interact with and be the living hands and feet, the living presence of Jesus out there. Right? Yeah. That's who we are. This is just part of what we do as the body of Christ. We come together, we worship, we share communion, we listen to the Word, we embrace the teachings of Christ, but then we go out and we live it out there in the community. And we interact with and we touch and we love on people that are different than us. And we sow those seeds, as David talked about last week, so that somewhere, maybe down the road, someone's heart has been opened to hear the good news of Christ and can come to know Him in a way that they never knew Him before. In our effort to be the church, how do we practice hospitality today? Isn't that the question? Well, I think we can do it both inside and outside these walls. We can practice hospitality in here during times like this and in other things that go on in this building by making sure that we create an atmosphere where everyone feels welcome, where everyone feels I'm safe here. And that means when you pass somebody in the hallways of this building as you leave here in a few moments, smile. Greet someone in the name of Christ. Extend a hand. Offer a hug. Speak to one another. Say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today, wasn't it? Have a wonderful week. That needs to be the common occurrence in the walls of this building so that all who enter here are made to feel welcome and at home. We welcome you today if you are someone who has slipped in among this family of people and you don't know anyone here. We welcome you today in the name of Christ. We want this to be a place where you are safe, where you are home. We share communion, not as a closed event, but we welcome any and all to come to the table and partake of the bread and the wine that speaks to our faith in Christ. We serve. We welcome people here. People who come in here who are not followers of Christ, whose lives may not be what they want to be. That's why we're here. It's not an us versus them. It's all about us and what God is doing here. The people who come here who need help, the people who come into this assembly wondering what this place is all about. It's not us versus them. It's all about God and what God is doing here and accomplishing here through us. Let's work on that. Let's go the extra mile. Let's practice hospitality the way Jesus practiced it. Outside these walls, we can see our homes, our apartments, our office, our backyard, the tables around which we gather to study, to share fellowship, or to eat. Not as places to isolate ourselves from the riffraff or undesirables, or where only certain kinds of people are welcome, but as safe places where all are welcome to join us, regardless of race, ethnicity, dress, social standing, or gender. I'm convinced Jesus would sit down and eat with anyone, regardless of who they were or what they did. I want to be like Jesus. And as a church, His people, we want to be like Jesus. Outside these walls, we can look for ways to show love and respect to our fellow man, to do good in the name of Christ, to embrace opportunities the Lord puts before us, to feed those who are hungry, to clothe those who are naked, to visit those who are lonely and afraid, to give drink to those who are thirsty, to bind the wounds of those who are hurting. In other words, we go out there prepared to be the hands and feet, the presence of Jesus in the community. That's what it means to practice hospitality. May we then be a group of baptized believers committed to following the example of Jesus and just love on people. Yeah, there'll be some conversations that might be sticky that we have to have. I get it. But we don't start there. We start by opening our arms and building bridges and tearing down walls rather than building. If you're not a follower of Jesus, we invite you to join us on the journey of following Christ. By confessing Him as Christ, by being immersed in His name, having His Spirit planted within you, you too can begin this journey of following Christ with the rest of us who are already on that journey. We would love to see you begin your journey today as a follower of Christ. May we always seek to have the Spirit of Christ outside these walls. Bless somebody next to you this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. And we mean that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.